We also heard earlier from the Russian Foreign Ministry, who said this: we are extremely alarmed by reports that Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife were forcibly removed from the country in the course of today's US aggressive actions. We call for immediate clarification on the situation. Actions of this kind, if they did indeed occur, constitute an unacceptable infringement on the sovereignty of an independent state, respect for which constitutes a key principle of international law. With that in mind, let's speak to Professor Mary Ellen O'Connell, who is an expert on international law at Notre Dame Law School. Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us on BBC News.
You're welcome.
Can I ask you, first of all, about what we've heard from not only the Russians, but also from Brazil, from various quarters, about what they describe as an affront to international law, what the US had done in Venezuela?
All of those statements are correct, and I'm sorry that there's any voices in the world who are reserving the opinion that this is not a serious violation of international law. It should not be a conservative versus liberal political matter. This is a straightforward violation of the most important principles of international law enshrined in the United Nations Charter. It is unlawful to use military force on the territory of another state in the circumstances in which President Trump has ordered it. It is equally unlawful to remove a person, any person, the president down to any individual, without due process of law, as has happened. The U.S. has obviously not learned the lessons of past invasions of this type in order to create regime change. That did not go well in 2003. Some people think that this is based on the successful use of force in 1989 in Panama. We can't say that that use of military force, in which hundreds of people died, was a success. Panama could have created its own peaceful regime change, as was the hope of most of us in the world would happen in Venezuela, that they would achieve democracy on their own, not through an unlawful, violent use of external force.
I want to just read you an extract of the social media post by the Attorney General, Pam Bondi. And as part of the indictment, the charges being put in front of Nicolas Maduro, she talks about cocaine importation conspiracy, possession of machine guns and destructive devices, and conspiracy to possess machine guns and destructive devices against the United States. Do you think that is what the US is going to say when criticised, that actually we are trying to protect our own country here and therefore have a legal right to do what we've done?
There are ways legally to respond to those kinds of problems. This is not the way. The United States has carried out a lawless action under the name of trying to enforce the law. This will not go well. We have undermined the very principles that we say we're trying to enforce. If we had supported peaceful regime change in Venezuela, it may take time. But that's what leads to successful countries in the long run, not through this kind of violent, lawless action. Then we could have requested an extradition of Maduro to stand trial in the United States under drug charges, as we have successfully done with a number of very important people. The former president of Honduras was serving time in the U.S., properly extradited to the U.S., and then strangely, President Trump liberated him, gave him a pardon. That also sent the wrong message. If we're really concerned with enforcing the laws against drug and arms dealing, then let's follow the law in order to do it. Let's set the right example and not do something in the same category of lawlessness as Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
The president of Colombia has asked for the Organization of American States and the UN to meet immediately. What is in their power to do?
There will be a full airing of what has happened, and then we will have a chance to see if governments that really are committed to the rule of law, to democracy, will stand up for those principles and criticize the U.S., despite their concerns over trade relations and other reasons that they've sought to please President Trump, despite ongoing violence in the Caribbean and the Pacific, as we know, and including this recent CIA attack on a port in Venezuela. We will see from the leaders of the United Kingdom, France, Germany, are they going to stand up for the rule of law? And despite whatever they think their short-term interests are, We need to see countries come together at the Organization of American States and, most importantly, at the United Nations Security Council and condemn this action. Even if the U.S. vetoes a response, it is possible, and countries need to use their power to speak to the rule of law and to take measures to show the U.S. that they are not going to consider this business as usual. This kind of lawlessness needs to stop. A demonstration of what the international community is committed to: peace, human rights. That's what needs to be on display.
But then the counter argument, and this is not my argument, I'm just saying what people will counter you with, is that was there peace? Were there human rights within a repressive, illegitimate government in Venezuela?
No, of course not. But we're talking about how do you get to those good places. You don't get to it through lawlessness, through violence, through killing people. We don't know, as your report just said, we do not know how many people have died. People have died lawlessly through the hand of the United States. We know the U.S. has already killed over 115 people in its attack on small boats. This is not how you get to compliance with and respect for the rule of law. You get it through demonstrating due process, democracy, by having exemplary elections in your own country and supporting those kinds of elections abroad, not through shortcut terms. Look what happened when the U.S. tried to do the same thing in Iraq with the United Kingdom and Australia. Where that country is still reeling through civil war and violation. They still have not reached the democracy that the U.S. thought it was going to impose from outside in 2003. That is the key example that the world should bear in mind when it says to the United States, release Maduro and his wife, send them back to Venezuela. One of the ironies is, as far as I can tell, there has not been a regime change. The vice president seems to be in charge. So I don't know what President Trump was thinking, that this would shift headlines from his own current problems in the United States, economic, and of course the Epstein files, but that the world has to speak out and in support of the UN Charter, the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, and say that this kind of lawlessness is not what we expect from a leading country like the United States. Put pressure on the U.S. to comply, to end its violence. And whoever is still in charge in Venezuela has to take measures to bring the rule of law to that country and to demand the return of Maduro, perhaps even with a promise that he will be put on trial within Venezuela under Venezuelan law, and then in some future date extradited to the U.S. to face charges. That is would send a great message to the world about where the United States is with respect to the rule of law, where we should have been from the very beginning of the Trump administration in strict compliance with the United Nations Charter and all of our commitments around the world.
Let's just talk about the precedent that has been set here and the type or the level of anxiety that is going to bring about in not only Latin American countries, but globally as well.
Well, so there are two ways of we're right now in the middle of so many lawless situations in the world. We are in the situation of a major invasion of Ukraine. We are seeing violations of international humanitarian law of the most extreme kind in Gaza. We are seeing a civil war in Sudan. There is renewed fighting in Myanmar. These are the conflicts that the world should be working on. We should be working to end those conflicts and to work on the existential problems of climate change, global health, and prosperity. Instead, President Trump is wasting money and his bully pulpit, his platform in the world to bring about solutions to these major problems by killing people lawlessly and invading a country. It's a demonstration of his love of drama. It is not solving U.S. problems or world problems. We really are in an economic and military force mess around the world. This is an opportunity for the world to come together and insist that a leading country like the United States come back into compliance with the world's law. The best thing that can be done by governments around the world is to put pressure on the United States to reverse this lawlessness and return to a focus on the United Nations Charter and the international treaties and the very basis of world order, which is commitment to treaties.
I just wanted to pick you up on one point.
Whether it's President Trump or President Putin, believing that they are above the law. That is the essential message that governments everywhere need to send if they want to have some kind of order for the planning and prosperity of their countries.
I wanted to just pull you up on one thing that you said earlier.
That is really the essential.
Hello, can you hear me?
I'm trying to make right now, regardless of how things turn out in Venezuela.
I wanted to pick you up on one point that you made earlier about asking the United States to send Mr. Maduro and his wife back to Venezuela to stand trial, to face justice there in a way that is within international law and bloodless, etc., etc. The only slight issue with that is that the judiciary in Venezuela is completely co-opted by the Maduro government. So how would you suggest that would happen?
Well, here's a dilemma. Yes, Venezuela is in a very bad state. I have been a huge critic of Maduro since he took over and earlier of Chavez. Any time that the courts are implicated and are corrupted by a government leader, this should bring the attention of all international lawyers around the world. But instead of doing that, the United States has chosen the path of lawlessness. So it's just as our courts would be corrupt to take on this case in which a person has been brought illegally into the United States to stand trial. So whether our courts, whether U.S. courts, will violate the rule of law in holding Maduro accountable, or we send him back where it's likely his courts will also not, at this point in time, hold him accountable. This is a terrible dilemma, but I know that the United States needs to take the first step in getting back into compliance with the law.
Okay.
And then support a future trial within both Venezuela and the U.S. of Maduro.
Professor Mary Ellen O'Connell, expert in international law at Notre Dame Law School, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, as I mentioned earlier, there has been reaction from around the world, including from the UK. Let's talk to our political correspondent, Damian Grammaticus, who's here. And Damian, just talk us through what we've heard from the Prime Minister.
Yes, so just literally in the last 10 minutes or so, remarks made by the Prime Minister. This is recorded for use by all UK broadcasters, media outlets. In the last 10 minutes, those have just been passed out. And I can tell you he was first asked whether the UK had any notion, whether he'd spoken at all to President Trump about this. This is what he said.
Prime Minister, have you spoken to Donald Trump about what's happened in Venezuela?
No, I haven't. And it's obviously a fast-moving situation. And we need to establish all the facts. What I can say is that the UK was not involved in any way in this operation. And as you'd expect, we're focusing on British nationals in Venezuela and working very closely with our embassy. And so I will want to talk to the president, I will want to talk to allies, but at the moment, I think we need to establish the facts. I think President Trump is doing a press conference later, so hopefully more information will come out then.
What is clear, though, which the White House has said, is that America carried out strikes on Venezuela and captured their leader, Maduro. Some politicians in this country have already condemned that. Do you?
Well, I want to establish the facts first. I want to speak to President Trump. I want to speak to allies. As I say, I can be absolutely clear that we were not involved in that. And as you know, I always say and believe we should all uphold international law. But I think at this stage, fast-moving situation, let's establish the facts and take it from there.
And just lastly, for people who might have family there or the small number of Brits in Venezuela, there are some there, it might be a small number, but of course people will be very concerned. What would their advice be?
There's about 500 there in Venezuela, and we're working with the embassy to make sure that they are well looked after, safeguarded, and get appropriate advice. So we're working at pace with the embassy on that. It is a small number, but it's an important number. It is about 500, and so that's what we're doing there.
Other presidents may have lacked the courage or whatever to defend America but I will never allow terrorists and criminals to operate with impunity against the United States. This extremely successful operation should serve as warning to anyone who would threaten American sovereignty or endanger American lives. Very importantly, the embargo on all Venezuelan oil remains in full effect. The American Armada remains poised in position, and the United States retains all military options until United States demands have been fully met and fully satisfied. All political and military figures in Venezuela should understand what happened to Maduro can happen to them, and it will happen to them if they aren't just, fair, even to their people. The dictator and terrorist Maduro is finally gone in Venezuela. People are free. They're free again. It's been a long time for them, but they're free. America is a safer nation this morning. It's a prouder nation this morning because it didn't allow this horrible person and this country that was doing very bad things to us. It didn't allow it to happen. And the Western Hemisphere is right now a much safer place to be. So I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank General Raisin Kane. He's a fantastic man. I've worked with a lot of generals. I worked with some I didn't like. I worked with some I didn't respect. I worked with some that just weren't good. But this guy is fantastic. I watched last night one of the most precise attacks on sovereignty. I mean, it was an attack for justice. And I'm very proud of him. And I'm very proud of our Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, who I'm going to ask to say a few words. Thank you very much.
Other Latin American countries. Let me talk to you a little bit about one of them. Colombia has been reacting to events in neighboring Venezuela. The president has said that his country's forces are being deployed to the border. Gustavo Petro said on social media, the United Nations Security Council must be convened immediately. Establish the international legality of the aggression against Venezuela. He went on to say the UCP, which means unarmed civilian peacekeeping, is activated and the operational plan is at the border. Well, let's bring you all those top lines once more, if we can, from what we know so far. So, as I only mentioned earlier, at some point this morning, we heard about a large-scale attack on Venezuela, in particular on Caracas and some of the military installations in and around the city. We then heard on Truth Social from President Trump that the US had struck military targets inside Venezuela. And President Trump also went on to confirm that the Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife had been taken and flown or removed from the country. We later on heard from a senator in the United States who said that he believes that Mr. Maduro and his wife will be taken to the US and put on trial there. Details, of course, are very, very scarce on where he is. And we have had the Venezuelan government asking for proof of life. And we've also had criticism from the Russian government as well. The Russian government has said that the capture of Nicolas Maduro and his wife, the forcible removal of them from the country is alarming. They've also said that the US actions are aggressive. There's been a national state of emergency declared in Venezuela. They have internally denounced the military aggression. We've also, as I mentioned earlier, heard of the fear and the uncertainty from within Caracas as those explosions happened. I only mentioned that Caracas is situated in a valley with mountains around it. So she was told by people who were in Caracas at 2 a.m. when those attacks started that the noise was incredible. What we also know so far now is with the detention of Nicolas Maduro, there is a period of extreme uncertainty in the country. If it's confirmed that he has been detained and he is out of the country, the question now many people are asking is what will happen next in Venezuela? We also are now clearly watching very closely those within the government that President Maduro has left behind. For example, the Vice President Delcy Rodriguez, who we heard from earlier, the Interior Minister Diosdado Cabello, and the Defence Minister as well. We know that all three have appeared either in terms of audio or on television, to denounce what's happened and to try and restore some sort of calm to the country. Well, we can now cross live and speak to Professor Luke Moffat, who is an expert in international law at Queen's University, Belfast. It's so good to talk to you, Professor. Thanks so much for joining us. We heard from the Russian Foreign Ministry earlier on today, and they have said this: it's unacceptable infringement, the US actions, on the sovereignty of an independent state, respect for which constitutes a key principle of international law. Does the Russian Foreign Ministry have a point there?
Well, yes, when it's speaking about the United States, it may take its own advice when it came to Ukraine. But yes, this invasion of Venezuela is a clear violation of the UN Charter and international law.
So what does that mean? Explain to us how.
Well, all states are party to the UN Charter, which says that states can't go to war unless it's in self-defence or it's authorised by the UN Security Council. And neither of those circumstances exist when it comes to Venezuela today.
So what are the next steps then? If international law has been contravened, what can happen? What, you know, what's the next move? Who is the next move going to be from? Or can the US basically do as it pleases?
Well, the US has done this before with Panama and Noriega in the 80s. So, like, Venezuela is not going to invade the United States to free Maduro. They could bring a case to the UN's top court, the International Court of Justice, but that would take years and it probably won't change the situation for Maduro. I think it's for allies in the United States, it's deeply concerning because that might implicate them in crimes that may occur in Venezuela, such as war crimes or crimes against humanity. And that this isn't just simply, you know, one day and one attack. This has been building up for a while, and there may be subsequent attacks in the coming days.
So what's your take now on the next moves from the US? Because we've heard, I think, from a senator from within the US quoting Marco Rubio saying that this is the end of the attacks on Venezuela. However, it's still unclear whether this is one of those missions where it's all over very quickly or where things might continue. I mean, that surely depends on what happens within Venezuela, right?
Yeah. We've seen it in the past, you know, with Libya, where limited intervention caused massive civil war. And the Maduro regime was built up on, graft and corruption. So, you know, if you're taking the center pillar out of that government, and there might be infighting, there might be, you know, widespread violence. So we just don't know what will happen next. I think in the United States, they'll likely put Maduro on trial, like they have with other Latin American leaders that they've implicated within drug trafficking. And the US courts won't have a problem with him being kidnapped and transferred into US jurisdiction in order to proceed with those trials.
They would have a problem, would they?
No, they won't. With President Noriega of Panama, he was transferred to the US in 1989.
Actually, it was the 3rd of January 1990, I think. It was 36 years ago today.
Well, then there's maybe, you know, precedent the US is trying to follow. But I think that, you know, that the US courts won't have a problem with trying Maduro for crimes that the US is suggesting he's involved in.
Okay, well, Professor Luke Moffat, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us. In the last few minutes, we've heard from the Brazilian President Lula da Silva, who said that US strikes are a serious affront to Venezuela's sovereignty. We've also heard from the president of Colombia, Gustavo Petro, who says troops are being deployed to the Venezuela border and called for the OAS, the Organization of American States, and the UN to meet immediately. The Chilean president, Gabriel Boric, shares his country's concern and condemnation regarding the military actions of the US. Remember, there's been an election in Chile very recently and a new ultra-conservative president is about to be sworn in. The Cuban president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, says his country denounces and urgently demands the reaction of the international community against the criminal act by the US on Venezuela. The president of Guyana, which of course has been in a long-running territorial dispute with Venezuela, Irfan Ali, says security forces are fully mobilized in accordance with our security plans. We've also heard from the Trinidad and Tobago Prime Minister, Kamla Persad Bisesar, who says that Trinidad and Tobago continues to maintain peaceful relations with the people of Venezuela.